conversations, our prayers, our lives devoted to God change the very essence that is the divine personality. For years, people have thought about this question, have argued about this question. Can God change? Theologians, seminarians, and perhaps even people in these pews have wondered, can God change? Can God's word evolve? And this has given pause to a great many people. For if God's word can change, then how are we to trust that when we pray to God, when we have our conversations with God, we will know what answer we are going to get? How can we trust that God will answer us in the way that we want or we think we deserve? And thus, throughout history, people have argued and thought about this question, if God can change. People obviously argued for God changing, saying that God has to change, that the times that were prevalent 2,000 years ago, the issues that were around are not the issues of today, and God must work differently. Conversely, you have people who say, no, God is, and always was, and will always be. God's word is eternal. God is never changing. For if God were to change, that would show that perhaps God has rethought a plan, that God perhaps could have been wrong once. And yet, if we were to look at Scripture, which is the very foundation of most of our faith, we notice an evolution of God's plan, of who God is, throughout our testaments. Don't we? If you were to read the Old Testament, what kind of God do you see coming through the pages? Often, we find God in the midst of destruction, God's hands being involved in wiping out entire nations and people. We all know the story of Moses when he was fleeing and being followed by the Egyptians. What happened to the Egyptians? They got swallowed up. What about the story with Noah? An entire world was wiped out by a flood for the sake of one. In the prophets, we see that God is blamed, that God even is moving and sending God's people into exile for their wrong, for their iniquity and their sin. And yet, even within this Old Testament, even within passages following the ones of destruction, God is seen as a sympathetic God, redeeming those people, saving those people, leading people out of the land of the lost into the land of the found. God in both one passage can be wrathful and filled with vengeance, and then redeeming and saving. God throughout Scripture evolves given the time, given the moment, and also given the intercession on people who follow God's word. We see that in our Old Testament lesson this morning, don't we, with Abraham, Sodom, and Gomorrah. We hear about these cities as being these cities of lust and sin. God is ready to destroy these cities of iniquity. They are to be blotted out. What does Abraham say to God? Over and over again. But God, what if there are 50 righteous people in those cities? Would you really destroy? we see the greatest evolution and change in God in the New Testament. Jesus, the Christ, in our parable of the lost sheep, is Jesus, the Christ, out to save the one righteous in the city? Jesus, the Christ, is out to look for the one sinner. The message that was confounded in the Old Testament, where everyone will perish who is unrighteous, and the question is over, how can we save the ones who are good? The New Testament and Jesus tells us that we are not to think like that, for the 99 who were found, they are found. They are God's people. The kingdom of heaven rejoices not over they, but over the one who is lost, the one who is not yet found, the one who is a sinner and unrighteous. What a drastic shift in the evolution of God, isn't it? Jesus changed the entire understanding of God from being a wrath-filled God who can switch at any moment depending upon your iniquity, to saying that God is looking for the iniquity-filled person, the person who has gone astray. And God will find you. God will find you. And when God finds you, does God crush you? Does this God tell you, you are a sinner and I want nothing to do with you, you will be destroyed? Jesus tells us that when that sinner is found, they are to be welcomed. They are to be listened to. Jesus' complaint against him is that he is eating with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus is not telling the tax collectors, repent from your ways or hell awaits you. Jesus is eating with them. Enough so his adversaries are saying, this fellow, he eats with sinners. He welcomes them. Jesus flipped the switch and started a whole new evolutionary change of how we are to understand God. That God is not out to condemn. That God is not out to say, you are unworthy and you cannot gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But God is willing to sit down with you, to listen to your story, to hear you, to laugh with you, to understand where you are and to reach out to you and say, by God, you are loved. You are loved. Jesus' ministry, Jesus' depiction of the divine is one of love. How many of us Christians know that we are staying true to Jesus' understanding of the kingdom of heaven? How many of us leave these walls as part of the 99 righteous? And we look towards the sinners and we point our finger. How many of us are reading the Old Testament and upholding it in such a way that we say, yes, God, come and destroy the world in October. Come in 2012 and rid us of all of this sin. The sad thing is, we see churches that show up at the graveside of soldiers. And they say, thank God for this dead soldier, because this is God's plan. Are they not reading the New Testament? Are they not reading the parable of the lost sheep? Are we not reading it? My friends, it is our call as Christians to leave this church here today, to go out into the world all days, and to be people who are seeking the lost, not condemning them. We are to continue in this evolutionary change of the divine, such that we are not looking at cities and saying, yes, you are full of iniquity and you need to be blotted out, but no, we are looking towards the unrighteous as worthy of our attention, such that we welcome them in. We sit with them. We eat with them. And we show them who God is. just love for the righteous and the found, but for those who are lost and astray.